This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey, everybody. It's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group. We are here today with Brent Johnson. He is a residential accredited appraiser, a mortgage valuation for CIT Bank. The bank serves several different markets in Southern California, which we'll talk about. He does government relations for the San Diego chapter of the Appraisal Institute and has over 40 years of experience. And he was on the panel in San Diego when we did Yes in My Backyard, talking about accessory dwelling units, and added, thank you very much for adding so much interesting flavor about one of the biggest issues right now in California, which are appraisals. So welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you're in the midst of a merger. So it's CIT Bank and it's Omaha. Is that what I remember?
That is correct. CIT Group and their subsidiary bank has purchased the Mutual of Omaha Bank. Mm-hmm. So we're in the midst of implementing the merger of between our two platforms.
You were originally with Omaha, correct?
Yes, actually, I spent 20 some years with my own appraisal firm, doing all kinds of appraisal work, pretty large staff for the market, and then I spent 10 years with Home Street Bank, managing the appraisal valuation process for the mortgage lending piece, and then for the past year, I've been with Mutual of Omaha Bank, and now CIT Bank.
All right.
That's where we're at right now, Aaron.
So you've been through lots of cycles, and you've been doing this. You've got lots of experience. You've got the SRA designation from the Appraisal Institute, and only less than, they say, 1% of appraisers in the United States even have that designation. Do you want to talk about what that is?
Yes. That's the SRA designation is the most highly sought after residential designation. It's a big brother or sister is the MAI that a lot of folks recognize on the commercial side from the Appraisal Institute. Mm-hmm. So the Appraisal Institute is one of several, but probably the oldest original appraisal agency. I shouldn't say agency, but certainly the NAR, if you will, of the appraisal industry.
We typically have them on every summer before we do I Survive Real Estate. So we've got a great relationship with them, and I bug them all the time. I've been asking them about ADUs for quite some time. So as part of Omaha, when did ADUs land on your radar?
Well, ADUs have landed on my radar for about the past 5 years or so. I would say about 5 years ago, Aaron, the accessory dwelling unit became a valuation component or piece of the process as the market demand or the market recognized them and started realizing their value, both in functionality to a property, you know, based on what we often have referred them to as granny flats, casitas. My two primary markets of the last quite a few years have been both Southern California and Hawaii. And as we know, both those markets have huge housing issues in terms of supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And so the accessory dwelling unit has emerged to be one of the top appraisal issues in the last, at least 5-6 years or so.
Yeah, it's definitely for our flippers. It has been a challenge. We talked a lot about this at the event, where what I've seen is appraisers, because there are a lack of comparables at the moment. I think that'll probably change now that the rules have been pushed out as of January and all the cities are updating their code and whatnot. But what has happened is that the bank, sometimes it triggers a duplex appraisal. Sometimes they'll say, we don't know what to do with this extra square footage. So they create a sort of like a per square foot total for the primary and the ADU. And the problem with the ADU is you've got some of the most expensive rooms crammed into the smallest space. So it's a higher cost per square foot than the primary. So it doesn't really work out in their favor. And depending on what market you're in, that might be fine in LA, but if you're in the Inland Empire, that can mean a big difference. And so is that what you're seeing as well?
It is. It's location. You know, I hate to say location, 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 but that in fact is what it is. So the difference between Los Angeles or more highly density areas, especially in the San Diego area, as opposed to Inland Empire markets, each market has its own forces that need to be recognized and evaluated.
How are you as an appraiser sort of, is the working for CIT, do they sort of have a protocol of how they want you to look at ADUs across the board?
Well, each lender certainly in their underwriting process, for which underwriting is really just risk, managing risk. And so CIT Bank and its subsidiaries, as the prior Mutual Omaha Bank, which was also a conforming mortgage lender, and Home Street certainly was. Home Street Bank was Fannie Mae's first approved lender in 1942. So we were very in tune with what appraisal and mortgage lending guidelines were written to or lent to. So certainly with CIT Bank, it's no different. We're looking at the collateral as far as how it meets and qualifies for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA. There can be some interpretations within the respective underwriting departments. There's some latitude there, but certainly the Fannie Mae selling guidebook, for example, sets the foundation for what the criteria is that needs to be met or addressed.
Has the GSEs actually released how they perceive these loans as part of the mix, and is it on the radar?
Oh yes, yeah. The selling guide, anybody can pretty much Google Fannie Mae and the selling guide. It was updated here just in February. And it's just a short piece of info of about, I think, 1,500 pages now.
Oh,
yes. but that covers the gamut, you know, from property qualifications, also borrower qualifications, but certainly the underwriting piece as it relates to the collateral, or what we would commonly know as the residential property of 1 to 4 units. And so it's spelled out there quite clearly. But one lender may say, I will do that. And even as we heard at the meeting here a couple of weeks ago, certain people had lenders that might see certain criteria a little differently. So, when it comes to ADUs or manufactured ADUs, or manufactured housing, those types of properties, it's not always black and white, and the criteria is it's within those 1,500 pages in the selling guide. But I am now telling folks, check with your lender. Your lender will check with underwriting if you have something a little out of the ordinary. Does that make sense?
Per usual, it's very vague.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking for a formula. how much are you going to give me? And this was one of the questions that you and I had a back and forth with. Is just we were talking about Greg Nicholas. He's with a housing development corporation. He came down from Sacramento. And I thought that was really cool that him and State Senator Wachowski came out on a Saturday to hang out with 300 investors in San Diego. I thought that was pretty great.
It was.
But one of the things that he was talking about was if you have a duplex, there's a potential for five total units on the property. And that sort of blew my mind. And then it got brought up late in the session where you and I were talking about, okay, I would value that like a, let's just assume, let's get rid of that fifth because, yeah, the J-ADU, let's take it out, and you've got a duplex and you build an ADU for each, it would trigger valuations that would be commensurate with a fourplex. And then we sort of had the conversation, okay, for the lenders on the stage, how do you view that? And it's inconsistent, right? Because just because Fannie and Freddie release their guidelines doesn't mean different lenders aren't going to put their overlays on it. So it's, there's just so much lack of clarity. And especially for flippers, you don't know who they're going to come to the table with as far as a lender. So you're really at a disadvantage. You're going to build this hoping you get the price that you're looking for. And you just might really be disappointed, which I would like to see less people do, especially in this next year.
Yes.
I just fought back my first appraisal in Florida. It was a AMC. Don't want to throw any shade to the AMCs, but this particular one was local, and I was really frustrated because I'm not an appraiser, and I was looking at the comps that were used. One was 7 years old. One had, yes, it was a new home, but the upgrades were not anywhere as nice as what I had built. So I was surprised when I got back the appraisal, and it was 41 grand more than what he originally, but I really built a case. I spent the time going and finding exact property matches. I gave him exactly what I built and the upgrades that were included in the build. So, you know, on the rebuttal, I did a really, really good job. And what we've been warning real estate investors is you need to start comp collecting. And it's hard because a lot of people are building these to hold as rentals, so they don't show up. Right. Is there any standard way that either realtors or appraisers are sort of identifying these in the MLS or different systems to where we can find those?
In terms of the accessory, the ADUs?
Yeah.
Yes. Or any other unique property characteristics, but ADUs obviously is our primary focus right now.
Right.
And so when I speak to realtors, I let them know that in this new world, this new age that we're dealing with, as it relates to accessory dwelling units or any other property characteristics that they find unique, is they've got to collaborate with the appraiser. The appraiser is not their foe. They will be their friend, and it takes a village oftentimes now to get through the finish line with the mortgage valuation piece, which is really what has to happen for them to close. So these realtors and need to work with the appraisers. Appraisers obviously need to start focusing on their comparable banks or data banks. So you have good data. And that's just easier said than done. So what exacerbates this whole role is, especially you mentioned AMCs, in our current mortgage environment or past mortgage environment, you know, speed and cost is everything with the appraisal. And so we set out expectations to appraisers for fast turn times. You know, we would need this in 4 days or 2 days or, you know, And the cost is always a big competitive factor. So for appraisers to go out and basically develop data banks for these more complex properties and complex characteristics, typical lenders and their AMCs don't recognize this or don't yet recognize these complexities. And this gets lost in the mix. And so whether it's your Florida case or any other case that I usually lands on my desk, you know, that's where it comes in to play, is the appraiser did not set expectations accordingly because they want to get the request. And then they try to reset expectations. And by the way, the fee is, you know, they're making minimum wage based on the fee they accepted because they don't have time now to do anything but what is in MLS. And there isn't anything in MLS, so they just, you know, make the best with what they have. And the result is, you know, an unreliable appraisal that's not accurate.
I have a problem with the AMC structure. I don't like it, and I don't see the value add to what's actually going on. I get it, transparency and accountability, but this is the problem. You're paying somebody next to nothing for their expertise, and so the amount of time they're going to spend on the file. Anyway, I won't get on that soapbox, but in our hard money loan business, we don't go through an AMC. We go direct to local experts that actually know what they're looking at and can look at after repair value, but I don't have the benefit of that. So let's walk through. I build an ADU, and in a second, we're going to have to get to the manufactured. So what we're going to talk about now is stick build. I'm doing a flip, and a buyer comes in, and they go through the process, and the appraisal comes in low. What kind of pushback do I have as the real estate investor to fight that appraisal, and what should I be doing?
Well, most lenders, and Fannie and Freddie and FHA allow for the lender, not being the loan officer typically, but somebody from through underwriting or the valuation department, the appraisal department, will send out a request for to the appraiser for a reconsideration of value, is what they're commonly referred to as. And that reconsideration of value, or ROV as they're commonly known in the appraisal world, should include competitive sales for the appraiser to consider. And here again, remember, when those ROVs, these reconsideration of values, go back out to the appraiser, he's not getting paid, or she's not getting paid anymore for taking another look at their completed report. We require our appraisers to do that, and they do it. But again, none of us like to spend a lot of time on something for free, right? And in their eyes, it's free.
Correct. But yeah.
Here's what the realtor or the borrower needs to do. They need to find good competitive data. And that does not mean, or information, that does not mean just go out and find two or three more higher price sales.
Right.
That means if there's a lower priced comp, or if there's information about those lower priced sales that were used as comparables in the appraisal, go digging, call those realtors. You can find them through realtor.com. You don't have to be a member of MLS to find out who the listing agent was. And try to reach out to them and find out why that sale sold low. Or if you think that was a lower price sale, find out, why did it sell for that? How many days was it on the market? What was the motivation, or the seller motivation? So with that reconsideration of value request, you don't want to give them 9 pages. You want to give them about 2 or 3 sale comparables, and you want to give them everything that you can that's pertinent about that property, the property characteristics, the view, the street that it sits on, what was done, what was not done. And a good appraiser will then take that and take another look. And I would like to think the majority of appraisers are happy to have good data with more information, and they're not out to ruin somebody's day with their appraisal. If there's something tangible there that they can defend their opinion with, and use from that reconsideration of value, they will.
Okay.
And so I tell realtors the same thing. When that appraiser shows up, you don't need to sell them the house. If it's a borrower, you're not trying to sell the house to the appraiser. You just want to give them the best data, the best objective data that you can.
Well, let me ask this question. If an AMC is involved and you do a good job leading with data as opposed to emotion, you're just upset because, you think you're the most amazing developer ever, and you come back with good data, that clearly rebuts maybe the comps that they chose, why it was not the best, and then offering them some others, how far will the AMC go to rebut your rebuttal if it's good data?
Well, the AMC, from my experience with most AMCs, and we use 15 AMCs at the Mutual Omaha Bank mortgage process, and most of them were pretty good at getting that reconsideration of value request or rebuttal to the appraiser. You know, they've got a client to please. That doesn't mean the number's always going to meet expectation. The value is going to always meet expectation, but they better meet my expectations in terms of service, which means if I have a rebuttal or a reconsideration of value request, it better promptly get to that appraiser, their appraiser. And from my experience, they always do. I mean, you know, they get them. In fact, the problem is then they sometimes set unrealistic expectations to have it back in 24 hours. Well, you know, if I'm the appraiser and I get that rebuttal reconsideration of value request from my AMC that I'm working for, and they want it back in 24 hours, and I'm not getting paid anything extra for it, what's the best way for me to deal with that? Probably just to say no in a sentence or two, basically say no and send it back, because now everybody's happy because I got it back within 24 hours. I didn't spend any time on it, so I'm not out my time. And, you know, the problem is, of course, the results aren't any better. Mm. So that's the issue with the AMC model. And I might be, well, I'm not even exaggerating to make my point. That really is how that process goes. So at homes, you know, and this is beyond the, you know, I'll digress for just a second here, but good lenders, and they are more of them are showing up now. Home Street Bank, we did not use AMCs or rarely used AMCs. We had direct engagement, just like it's always been in the history of mortgage lending. That I see as being an emerging factor that's coming back. It can be done. It can be done in a way that meets Dodd-Frank or OCC requirements, etc. Certainly Fannie, Freddie, and HUD are fine with it. And so that doesn't solve a lot of the issues that you want, you know, that we're addressing here today. But the fact of the matter is we have to communicate with the appraiser when the appraisal doesn't meet expectations. And I don't mean expectations in terms of just the value, but in the process and the way it got to the value.
One of the questions I have a follow-up with that fourplex comparable. As a real estate investor, if I'm fighting the comp and there's some duplexes around and it was clear that the AMC didn't include something like that, is that appropriate for me to send? And is it just because does it need to be similar in square footage? How would I insert that as a comp?
You would insert that as a comp, Aaron, with explanation of why you believe it should be considered
okay.
As a comp. And a couple of three bullet points, you know, recognizing this is a duplex, not a fourplex, but here's why it should be considered in this valuation or this appraisal process. And that might be because of the unit mix, the condition, the quality, the location, and, you know, for the lack of other similarly located fourplexes, right? I mean, if there are three or four fourplexes there, you know, typically we're not going to include duplexes unless there is a valid reason to. And Fannie and Freddie and FHA all will allow for, you know, for comparables like duplexes versus fourplexes or triplexes, to be used. You just have to tell them why you're doing it.
Okay. No, I just think that that's a really interesting thing that an AMC might not necessarily consider if they're new to ADUs. So it's why I wanted to bring it up.
And that's true.
I brought this up with the Appraisal Institute. I really hope that they decide to do something similar that they did with green, with the residential green and energy efficiency addendum. If you follow my work on Forbes, I did a smart home thing and I brought it up, and there's a link directly to the form that I'm talking about. But what it's trying to do for the consumer is tell them how much money on average the home is going to save them because of energy efficiency items put inside the home. Now, with ADUs, there's a potential income creating factor or maybe a saving factor if you've got a senior living there instead of in a facility. I don't know if it's something they could end up doing, but there would, it would just offer some clarity. Just because I create an ADU doesn't mean, depending on the market, that somebody's going to be willing to pay more or less for it. It is what it is. It's market rate. But it would be interesting to see us go a little further into the appraisal space, and I think the Appraisal Institute would be the one to drive this. So I hope they took a look at that. We are running.
And we are.
Okay, good. And we're running out of time, so let's get to the manufactured home. So I already know that lenders are going to have a problem with mixed inventory. They don't like to see a stick-build primary and a manufactured home on site necessarily. Do you see that changing in the next year, or do you think that's going to remain to be an issue?
I see that changing based on listening to both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's chief appraisers within the last 30 days.
Great.
And this also, we won't digress, but this also applies to the whole accessory dwelling unit valuation processes, of which part of them are going to overlap because now we have some more or less these manufactured small units that can be ADUs. But in terms of both, in terms of valuing manufactured homes, it's fluid right now. You've heard the terms likely, or you will hear new generation manufactured homes. They don't look like any manufactured home that any of us have ever seen in our careers. Mm-hmm. But they are manufactured, and they are going to change the face of mortgage lending in terms of manufactured homes. There is going to be some flexibility, increasing flexibility. I would say if there's a property that you have or you are considering to flip or work with that has manufactured housing, please work with your lender at least simultaneously, but be proactive to know what the lender's underwriting, how they are going to underwrite any property with a manufactured home on it, especially if you're going to consider any kind of an ADU on that property.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is because I think labor is going to be an issue. I talked to Wykowski's team about this. I'm like, you know, you sort of, you set the rules, and I think there's going to be a run on labor. We've already heard a lot of our real estate flippers talking about how difficult it is to find good labor. And I'm specifically interested in finding manufacturers outside of the state of California that can bring them in. And in some cases, they're going to be better quality than what I would get in a stick build because it's in a manufactured environment with robotics or the same people doing the same thing over and over again. It's very controlled. So I think manufactured will lose its stigma over the next decade, and part of it's just going to be by necessity. You've got the National Association of Home Builders talking about this the last few years, talking about, you know, people aren't coming out of high school wanting to, hey, you know, I should get into hard labor and construction. So part of it is just going to be a need moving forward. But
yes.
Okay. And I bet you anything, the manufacturers are also, they're getting smart. There was quite a few manufacturers at the ADU event that we did. And whoever you decide to end up going with, I bet you they're going to have a list of mortgage companies that are friendly to their product specifically. So don't be afraid to reach out. If you like their product, say, well, hey, who do you work with on the lending side? I bet you anything they're going to know.
they will. I just, and again, I encourage folks that are looking at those types of properties to begin by working with a good lender, because you don't want to get, as you well know, preaching to the choir here, but you get into a transaction and then try to do your mortgage financing, and that's just ends up usually not being very fun, at least.
We call that the spray and pray approach. We don't like that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, and we're warning investors too. Please do your homework. The rules are changing by city, but there are some exemptions to where you won't be able to build, even though the state has basically mandated it. There's still some games that are going to go on, and you just don't want to be stuck in the middle of that, buying something, assuming you can build, and then you can't. So yes. Yeah, you better be researching the feasibility of the project in the beginning, and then dual tracking the mortgage conversation. Even if you're not holding this long term, you need to know what you're up against. And you could actually, you know, have your buyers pre-qualify with this lender, you know, ahead of time, knowing that that might be, you know, the game. So,
yes. And the other thing I just footnote real quick here is mortgage lending, conventional mortgage lending is 1 to 4 units. So when we heard the other week about there being a potential for a fifth unit, that may well be. In the state of California, but so far there won't be conventional mortgage lending for that fifth unit. And mortgage lending now on the conventional side with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA, you cannot hypothetically just delete that fifth unit and not value it. That was an old practice used for many years, but it no longer applies. So if you have a fifth unit on that property, please talk to your lender or somebody to give you some guidance and with how to deal with that fifth unit.
I don't want to get on a soapbox on this again as well, but I don't like JADUs. I haven't seen a lot of designs that I'm like, you know what? I would live there. Maybe as a starving student, maybe it's appropriate for some, but I haven't seen any designs that I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that increases the value and the value of the property and also the livability for my tenants. That's another thing that I'm also considering. Yes. I don't want to destroy value on either side of the equation. So just be careful. Do your homework.
Yes.
Brent, how can they get a hold of you if they'd like to reach you?
I can be reached outside of the bank. I do some consulting work, and my email is Brent@res1consulting.com.
And we'll put a bio on the website so they can reach out to you. Thank you for your time on this really important topic, and we'll probably have to reach out again mid-year to see an update of what's coming up next for ADUs.
It's an exciting time, Aaron, as we know, and I appreciate being able to contribute.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.